All right. Do you have your Bibles? Put your Bibles over your head. No, I'm just joking. You already did that. Okay. How many know I'm learning some things? And I want you to pay close attention to what I'm preaching today. I was excited to preach the, can I just be honest with you? I was excited to preach the shoes of peace. I was excited to preach the breastplate of righteousness. I was really excited to preach the belt of truth. But when it came to the helmet of salvation, I was like, oh yeah, the helmet of salvation. And it's because I really didn't know. I knew what the peace was, but I didn't understand the peace. Does that make sense? And so, oh my goodness, this sermon is going to be very, very helpful. Look at your neighbor and say, please pay close attention today. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Guys on the screen, you got to flow with me today. Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, let's thank God. Give a hand to the sound people. Amen. Sometimes we don't even recognize how awesome they are because they're kind of out of sight, and but they are awesome, and appreciate you guys in the back and girls in the back. We have sound girls too. Sound people. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Somebody say the power of his might. See, the problem is we have depended on our own power. We don't need to depend on our own power because there's a superior power that we can rely on, his power. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, in giving us the impression or letting us know that if we're not in the armor of God, we're not going to be able to stand. Does somebody know somebody who used to be serving God? They're not serving God anymore. Let me tell you why they're not. They're not because they did not put the armor of God on. That's what the Bible says. So you put it on that you might be able to stand. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but are against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Somebody say, my husband is not my problem. Somebody say, my kids are not my problem. Stop thinking they're the problem. You get your sword out and the wrong sword, not sword of the spirit, but you get your sword out thinking they're your problem. And they are not your problem. And you need to take that harshness in your tongue and put it back in the sleeve. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, that you might be able. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, somebody say the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, pray for all the saints. The end. Okay, we'll stop there. But then go back and go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. We have it again up here on the screen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Now, all eyes up here. I'm going to show you a rose by any other name is still a rose. Does that make sense? You can call a bologna sandwich anything you want. It's still a bologna sandwich. Does that make sense? Ooh, now you are eating the grand, marvelous sandwich. So in the Bible, I'll show you different places where I'm going to show you them putting on the helmet of salvation. But it's still the helmet of salvation. That's what it is. And this is what the writers of Hebrews is teaching you. He says it a different way, but it's the same thing. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Somebody say, I've got need of endurance. See, having done all to stand therefore, if you don't, watch this, I'm putting two verses together. They're saying the same thing. If you don't put the armor of God on, including the helmet of salvation, you will not be able to stand. There is this evil day coming. And if you don't have the armor of God on, you're not going to be able to stand. Hebrews says it a different way. Don't throw this confidence away because you have need of endurance. What you need is when things don't go the way you think when things don't go the way God has said that they're going to go, is not time for you to give up and throw in the towel. That's what the helmet of salvation is. I'll show it to you in a minute. Well, let me just tell you. The helmet of salvation is the helmet of salvation means wholeness. So you're believing God is going to, what he did on the cross is going to make you whole. That's why you're putting it on your mind. Different way of saying it, but here's what he says. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, the promise is sure. The promises of God are sure. God, to his promises, not taught by most pastors, but taught by this pastor. Why? Because it's taught in the Word of God. God's response to his promises are not yes and no. Here's what God's response to his promises are. They're yes and yes. Yea and amen. That's what the Bible says. What is putting on the helmet of salvation? Well, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Again, we have it up here on the screen. Because I love the wording. Same thing, but he changes the wording a little bit, and when he does it, it makes it clear for us to understand. But let us who are of the day be sober. Somebody say, I need to be sober. What does that mean? You need to put on this this reality of what God says is true. You need to be sober-minded. You need to be alert that what God says is true. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. So let me say the helmet. Ephesians talks about this helmet. Thessalonians talks about the helmet, but it's the same helmet. But in Thessalonians, we get, because of the wording, a little, I think, better way to see what it really is. You ever looked at something over here and you see it a certain way, but then when you come over here and look at it, you are more enlightened. You see a better understanding of it. How many understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Ephesians, all eyes up here. Ephesians, the helmet. Thessalonians, the helmet. See, now we're getting a better understanding of what this helmet is. It's the helmet of hope of salvation. Oh, Pastor, that's deep. I don't know what you just said, but that's deep. Okay, stick with me. It's a helmet of hope. You get that much, right? Say, it's the helmet of hope. God wants you to firmly put this helmet of hope on, that every day you have hope. Every day you have hope. Just like, watch this, every day you have peace. Why? Because I have the shoes of peace on. The other day, oh my goodness, I had like the worst day. You ever had a worst day? And then at 6 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, I thought, oh, it's going to get better. And then it's at night, 6 o'clock and seven, it didn't get better. It got worse. You ever had a day like that? Okay. And when I laid my head on the bed at 11:30, I finally got to bed at 11:30, had just so much to do. Finally went to bed at 11:30. You know what I did? I had peace. I had peace at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 12, at 1, at 6. I had peace all day. You know why? Come on. You know why? Because I had the shoes of peace on, Jackson. Right? Right? I had the shoes on. You've got to put each piece on because there's a day approach. I didn't know that day was going to be that day. But what is God wanting us all frazzled? Ooh, oh, I had an awful day. No, God doesn't want you acting like that. God wants you chill even when you have bad days. Amen. Even when circumstances, you are to bring. I don't have time to teach the shoes of peace today, right? But you're bringing peace in the midst of even your torn turmoil. Why? Because you decided to put those shoes on. In the same way, you've got to put this helmet of hope on. There needs to be I don't know, and I don't care. I mean, I care. I care. Thank you. You're gracious. What I meant to say is I don't care about the circumstances in your life. And here's why. Because if you put the helmet of hope on, you understand what Christ did on the cross. And what Christ did on the cross is more than anything that any demon on this earth can do to you. See, it's this help, and that's why I love the wording in Thessalonians, because it brings such clarity to what it really is. It's a helmet of hope. Helmet, and as a helmet of hope, this, guys, how many know I don't want you to put on a helmet? It's like, the only helmet I had was a ram helmet. You know what I mean? So you're walking around with a ram helmet. You know, you cross out the rams and you put hope on it. That's not what you're doing. Look what it says. And as the helmet, you don't have a helmet on. You have as a helmet, hope on. It is, what are you doing? Where are you putting the helmet? You ever see Rams players and they got a helmet here and a helmet there? That was supposed to be funny. You're supposed to laugh when I did that. Okay. Do you ever see that? No, you don't put a helmet on your knees. Where do you put a helmet? On your head. What is that protecting? It protects your mind. You need to put a helmet of hope. Hope is your helmet to protect your mind in the craziness of what's going to happen? And this going to happen? Oh, what about this? And oh, what about the pandemic? And oh, what about? Oh, my goodness. Where's your helmet? The helmet of hope. What is it? And as a helmet, hope. As a helmet. You're not putting a helmet on. You're putting hope on your mind. Of what? Oh, that's deep, Pastor. I don't know what that means, but that's deep, man. How many know, if I don't explain to you what deep is, how many know deep is crazy if we don't understand it? Let's break it down. Salvation. Well, most of you know what the Greek word for salvation, you know what that is, right? If you don't, just go over and look at Tony's shoes, and you'll see what it is. It's sozo, S-O-Z-O. And what it means, literally, well, let me say this first. Put this up on the screen in the backs. Put this, the helmet is not taking. Put that part. Guys in the back, you see that? The helmet is not really talking about putting something on your head, but putting the reality of what Christ did on the cross. Okay, let me just read it to you from here. The helmet is not really talking about putting something on your head, but putting the reality of what Christ did on the cross firmly in your head. Did you catch that? Ultimately, listen to this. Write this down. Ultimately, we are not destroyed by what we do, but by what we think. Ultimately, we are not destroyed by what we do, but the way we think. Now, I understand, I get it. Ultimately, you will be destroyed in what you do. But if you take that back a little bit, it's not what you do. Why do you do what you do? Because you think the way you think. Does that make sense? So ultimately, you're not really destroyed by what you do. You're really destroyed by the way you think. And the way that we think sometimes is we don't understand fully. Price, I don't have to pay that price. And we've got to settle that no matter what your circumstances look like. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And putting the helmet of the helmet of salvation, it's the helmet of hope unto salvation. It, you know what it is? It's making the decision that whatever Christ did for you on the cross is going to happen. That's what it is. So what God is really asking us to do is to protect ourselves by judging, listen to this, every thought with an attitude of hopefulness that comes because we fully believe in what Christ accomplished on the cross for us. I'm going to say that again, but listen very carefully. So what God is really asking us to do is to protect ourselves as we judge every thought. See, that hope is going on your what? On your head, it's for your mind. And you are to judge those thoughts with an attitude of hopefulness. Anything that goes wrong, you need to have this attitude. Well, God will go before me and make the crooked path straight. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, can I show you the helmet? With thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because you put this helmet around your head that says, hey, God is going to fix this. That's why you're going, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. God, you are going to go before me and take care of that. That's why you're thankful. You're not thankful and like, oh, I'm thankful, nothing's going to change, but I'm going to be happy. That's not what God is saying. God is saying, I am someone who hears your prayers and I will answer your prayers. That's what God is saying. That's what the helmet is. But you got a bunch of people even in the church and they're walking around without a helmet. Can you imagine if you walked out there to a football game and went out there and said, dude, what? You're like, what is your problem? Dude, I don't need a helmet, man. That's how tough I am. No, that's not how tough you are. That's how dingy you are. I'm not calling you dingy, but if somebody... Why? Because you wouldn't do that because that helmet protects you. We got a bunch of Christians walking around and they have this pessimism that is ungodly. It's ungodly for He took care of sickness and disease and death and misery and hopelessness. That was all taken care of on the cross. So what the helmet is, it's this helmet of hope unto salvation. Go to sozo now, guys in the back. What does sozo mean? That is the Greek word salvation. We think it means when we got born again, which it includes you getting born again. But it doesn't mean that. When I say go over to In-N-Out and get me a number 2. Come on, somebody. Where are my In-N-Out fans in the house? Where are my In-N-Out fans in the house? What am I saying when I say, here's what I'm not saying. When I say, go over and get me a number 2. Here's what I'm not. If you come back and give me and hand me a Coke, I'm not going to be happy. Why? Because I'm looking for. Double with cheese. Make sure you do not put onions on it. And I want the fries. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? That's what I want. I'm not looking for a Coke. Christians whose God has died for all kinds of things when he went to the cross. And we're walking back and we're accepting when Satan says, well, all you can have a Coke. You need to slap that Coke out of his hands and say, no. I have the helmet of salvation on. The hope that I have, the helmet is as hope. I have hope on. And this hope is that there, because of what Christ did on the cross, there's this wholeness that I have. Shake your head if that makes sense to you. That's what it is. And most people are walking around and they haven't put this hopefulness around their mind. They have allowed circumstances to dictate to them what is real. And when you have the helmet on, all you say is, oh, those are just circumstances. And circumstances are subject to change. You see how cool the helmet is? I'm telling you what, the helmet is a bad dude, man. Let's just talk about some areas. Let's talk about victory. This isn't going to take me long to preach this. Let's talk about some areas in our life. You don't have to raise your hand. Is anyone, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. Or you can raise your hand. Okay. Has anyone have some sinning in your life that you're still dealing with? Okay, you can raise your hand. Okay. And I've said this before. Everybody who doesn't have their hand up, they're liars, and that's a sin. So you got... You just proved my point. Okay? Right? You just proved my point. Okay. But when you have this helmet of hope on, your hope is that what Christ did on the cross is going to deliver you. Listen, here, let's. Can I get real with somebody? I'm not looking for any confessions right now. I mean this, man. Don't raise your hand at this point, please. But let's say you are dealing with pornography. And that could be a sticky issue. You know, pornography is something like it sticks. It's like you ever get tar on your hands? You know what? Or you ever try to get like you reach down to get some gum up off the and it's still really hot, and then you're like, oh, what did I do? And just automatically you wipe it on your, and it doesn't come off your hands. It just is added to your pants now. How do you know what I'm saying? Pornography is like that. It's easily attached. It's hard to clean up. So, but see, Satan has come in and convinced some of you, because you have been watching pornography for years, that You'll never be free of that. I hope you have the belt of truth on. Let me teach you how all this all goes together. Because the world will say, we don't have any kids here, right? Sometimes you need to talk to adults like adults. Okay. Just so you know, we're going to start Men of Hope soon. Okay. And I'll be able to talk to men even more just straightforward. But the world will tell you that, I'll just say it like this, that behaviors that is clear in the word, not okay to continually do with the door shut. Right? Yeah, make sure, you got the Zoom off. Some of you are going to get that. But those behaviors, the world will say, no, that's just natural. Actually, that's a good behavior to have. But God knows, He made your body. He knows exactly what's good and not good. And what Satan has done is he has lied to you, and you have your helmet off, and you think, you know what? I just have learned to accept this. I don't have this hope that I'll ever be free of this. You don't have your helmet on. The hope is to wholeness. That's what salvation is. The hope is that, dude, you can be free from this. You can be free from this. But you got to put that helmet on. And the world is not only telling you, you don't need to be free from it, but the world is telling you, but then you got people, but then Satan comes and tells you, you know what? Yeah, Satan is a sucker, man. He tempts you to do it, and then after you do it, he says, ooh, look at what an ugly dog you are. What? He's gross. Am I making sense? So let's talk about this freedom over sin quickly. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 10. For the death that he died, he died to sin. Who died for sin? Jesus. And how many times did he die? Once for all. Say once for all. The point is, this thing is done. But life that he gives, the life that he lives what? To God. How many get that? Raise your hand if you get that. Raise your hand if that makes sense. Come on, this is simple. But watch the next verse. Likewise, you also. You mean I ought to think that I can have victory over sin like Jesus had victory over sin? Yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says. Thank you, my brother. That's what it says. When we read the Bible and then we let pastors tell us, oh, that's what it says. That's not what it means, but that's what it says. No, that's what it says, and that's what it means. Likewise, you also reckon. Reckon is you look differently now. Reckon yourself. Somebody say me. Oh, no, I'm always going to have. Stop it. Oh, I'm always going to have problems in this area. Stop it. Stop the sin, but stop thinking you always, because the problem you have isn't in what you do. The problem you have is how you think. Amen. Your thinking follows. That's the helmet of salvation you got to put on and say, oh my goodness, I don't care that I've been addicted to pornography for 8 years or 18 years or 18 months or 18 days. It makes no difference. From now on, I have this hopefulness that I can be whole from this. And I don't care what you think. I'm not asking for your opinion. I have God's opinion on this. Likewise, you also. Somebody say you also. There's got to be a mindset. You've got to put that helmet of hope that you're going to be whole. And not whole. Oh, when you get to heaven someday. Oh, yeah, someday. Yeah, someday. What about today? What Christ did on the cross is for you today. Likewise, you also reckon yourself, like Christ did, to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ, Jesus our Lord. What you do, you're putting that helmet of optimism on. You know, how many know life has a way of making you feel like it here, you hear this term, it like beats the hell out of you. You ever heard that? It's just life sometimes just beats. No. That's not accurate. It doesn't beat the hell out of you. It beats the hope out of you. You know what it actually does? Life sometimes beats hell into you. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, Pastor, what do? Put on that hope of salvation, of wholeness. There's people and they've allowed their feelings, how they, not their emotionally how they feel, I'll get to that, but how they feel in their body. They've allowed their feelings in their body to cause them to take that helmet of wholeness off. You don't have hope anymore. You have finally succumbed to what the doctor says, that is your diagnosis, and now you'll even accept it and tell people, I have this. I don't care whether the doctor at Kaiser or Red Cross or Blue Cross, or I don't care even if Dr. Fauci says it. Come on, say amen, somebody. That's not what I have to identify with. Why? Because I got the helmet of hope on. Is this making sense to somebody? Is somebody recognize, oh my goodness, I've been getting my butt kicked and I don't have to. I've allowed Satan to lie to me, and when I accepted his lie, I took that helmet off. Come on, who am I preaching to today? Who's hopeful today? You've allowed, let me just ask you, how many of you, how long did that you married an imperfect person? What have I done? Come on, somebody. And at some point in time, you have allowed Satan to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. And you don't even see how awesome your spouse is. All you do is see, you know what, the ugly dog that he is. And I agree, he's an ugly dog. But I would also agree, and so are you. Come on, is that not true? Amen, amen, amen. We got two problems here, right? We don't just got one problem, we got two problems here. Right? And you've allowed, and now the next thing you know is you just have such a pessimism about your marriage. And at some point in time, if you don't get that pessimism out, you know what? Eventually, the lie. How many know that's what Satan does with hopelessness? Hopelessness, hopelessness, hopelessness. And the next thing you know, suicide is through the roof in America now. Why? Because eventually, if you keep on believing that lie, the next lie that he'll have is, you know what, and you'd be better just to end your life. And people are doing it every single day. Yep. See, it's not your actions that are causing destruction. It's your thoughts that are causing destruction. And you need to do what Paul says about your spouse. Paul calls your spouse a saint. Yeah, he does. He does. That you need to do what God starts doing. Calls him the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? With all the imperfections. Are you learning something today? See, listen, you take that hat off. Tamara, who is the love boat? The love boat. Some of you young person like, the love boat. See, he's not even laughing. Why? He has no idea what I just said. He has no idea. You guys know how funny that is. He has no idea. He's like, what? What is he talking about? The love boat. Google it. Who is the love boat guy? Yeah, Captain Steubing. That was, does anybody know his actor name? Gavin Newsom. Newsom. You think that was a mistake? That wasn't a mistake. That was written. I did it on purpose, okay? Gavin McLeod. Gavin McLeod's wife put on the helmet as of hope unto wholeness. And when her husband decided to divorce her for a younger lady, right? Scumbag. Thank you. Dude, you're rocking it today, man. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Spencer. Sermon by Pastor Drew and Spencer today. Okay. Good job, Spencer. Here's my point. My point is, she, for dinner, set his place. Week after week, month after month, year after year. What she didn't do is she didn't revert back to what many people, many wives would do. I'm moving on. He's a scumbag. He's a this. He's a that. No. He's an honorable man. He's a man of God. And I'm going to honor him because I have this hope of wholeness that is going to protect my mind. All my other friends, they're hot, they're jumping off the boat. Oh, that's kind of clever, is it not? they are slipping out the back, Jack. You know, it's interesting because I quote that song. The other day I was listening to that song. I thought, man, I want to listen to this song. I'm going to see what it's a. This is a disgusting song that I'm quoting. You know what? There's 50 ways to leave your lover. That's what the line is. This is a disgusting song. And it's a disgusting way to think if you've committed that to that person for the rest of your life. And yeah, maybe they're going through some stuff. Maybe you've had to forgive them over and over and over. But now is not the time. Here's what you have need of. You have need of endurance. Amen. That's what you need. You need to not grow weary. What did McLeod's wife do? She didn't grow weary in doing good. And there was one night that there was a knock on the door, and when she answered the door, there was her husband. And that husband asked for her forgiveness. He repented, and they lived. I don't know if even they're still alive, but they were a testimony to couples all over. Listen, don't believe the lie. Welcome to marriagehood. Your spouse is far from perfect, and you are far from perfect too. So don't allow Satan. Yeah, but I'm better than him. Oh my goodness, you're self-righteous is what you are. I'm better than her. She shouldn't have done this. Well, yeah, maybe he shouldn't have, and maybe she shouldn't have. But what about the stuff you shouldn't have done? Can we give grace to people? Yeah, but they don't deserve it. Yeah, they probably don't. And you don't deserve the grace that God gives you either. Amen? So what in the world? What's my point? My point is, my point is, that there's all kinds of scripture, and whether it's of promises that God has promised to you, that God has promised to you. Here, let me give you one. You're going to bed. You're having trouble sleeping. See, this is real. Well, Pastor, what should I do? Don't take the helmet of holiness off. Right? So what should you do? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Guys in the back, can you skip down to that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is my peace. Oh, he himself, Jesus himself is my peace. What am I going to do? You might not, I'm not saying taking a sleeping pill is wrong. What I'm saying is it's kind of silly to keep on doing things that aren't working and you continue to do those. Here, how about this? How about this sleeping pill? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Right. See, we have exalted humanism. We've exalted this man always has the solution. And man, there's all kinds of things man doesn't have the solution for. We're like so quick to take the pill, to take the advice, to take, well, you fill in the blank. We're so quick to do that. Because we think they have the answer. They have the answer. They have the answer. And I'm telling you what, there's so many. I mean, you guys, you work in the medical field. You tell me this. How many people go in jacked up and they leave jacked up? Not because they don't have a good, they just don't have the answer. Shake your head like this if that's true. And we think they got the answer for everything. They don't have the answer for everything. I'm not saying that couldn't be an answer that God uses. What I'm saying is, you know what? Here, if you're having trouble sleeping, why don't you memorize Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14? Or how about this one? How about Psalms chapter? Watch this. Psalms. What's Psalms? Oh, Psalms is Psalms and chapter all in one. So I wanted to say Psalms and chapter. Psalms. Turn to Psalms. See, that's cool because then you don't even have to say chapter. You just say, turn to Psalms 4. That's faster. That's like I abbreviate stuff. Saying it is, I just say it's. And saying Psalms chapter 4, I just say Psalms. Turn to Psalms 4. Look at verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. I'm not only going to lie down and be peaceful, I'm going to sleep. Why are you going to say that? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Listen, I could go about this. I don't have time, but I could give you example after example after example. What is this? This is putting on as a helmet hope. And I'm not basing it on just what I think. I'm basing it on what God says in his word. Listen, sleep has been provided for you at the cross. The chastisement of our peace, the Bible says in Isaiah, was put upon him. He took that anxiety so you could walk, so you could sleep in peace. And you're sitting there and, Pastor, but I can't sleep. I know you can't sleep, and I know why you can't sleep. You can't sleep because you have taken the helmet off. And you want to argue with me about, that ain't going to work. Okay, well, rock and roll. You know what I mean? And keep on taking those sleeping pills that don't work too. Does that make sense? Amen. Couple things then I'll close. The woman with the issue of blood. How many know this story? There's this woman, she's had an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. So this long time. But at some point in time, she puts the helmet, she becomes hopeful that Christ is the answer. That's the helmet of salvation. That's the helmet of the hope, the helmet as hope unto salvation. That's what it is. She puts the helmet on and she says, let me tell you what. I've taken their pills and taken, that's what the Bible says. She continued to go to physicians for 8 years, spent all the money she had, and grew worse. But then she puts the helmet of hope on, and here's what she says. When I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. And she works her way in, touches the hem of his garment, and she is instantaneously the issue that she had, it dried up, and she knew it right away. She knew what this felt like. And when it was gone, she knew it was gone. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the apostles were like, oh, who touched you? You know, listen, when you think Jesus is dingy, you're dingy. Yeah, you can tweet that for me, okay? But they thought he was dingy because there's all these people, what are you talking about, people? But no, she says, no, this woman put a demand on my power. See, that's the helmet of hope. She is believing that this wholeness is going to happen. We see this helmet being put on over and over and over again in the New Testament. And because it's not described as the helmet of hope, we don't even see these people when they put it on. The man, I quoted it earlier, that man who was withered. If you read the man with the withered arm, when Jesus says, stretch your arm out to me, you know, what does he do? How does he do that? I don't know how he did that. Here's what I know. When he did that, what did he do? Oh, man, he put that helmet of hope on. And notice this. To the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus says to her, your faith has made you whole. Let me paraphrase. When you put that helmet of salvation, of hope, of that wholeness that you believe that I could make you whole, that's when you got healed. Your willingness to put that helmet on is the very thing that's going to cause you to be whole. It's the very thing that's going to cause you to stand against the wilds of the... Satan can't take you out. All Satan can do is lie to you. It's not what you're doing that's hurting you. It's how you're thinking. It's not what you're doing that's hurting you. It's how you're thinking. And wrong thinking produces wrongdoing. But you're so busy looking at the doing, you don't go back and look and see the problem. The problem is you don't have the helmet on. You have learned to be so pessimistic about things. And you think that's wisdom. It's not wisdom, it's foolishness. It's more than foolishness, it's ungodliness. And I'm going to believe, I'm going to get on the world system, I'm going to do what the world says, I'm going to function like the world says, I'm going to abandon the hope that I really have. Can I tell you what? Here, can I get real with somebody? Yeah. You talk about the pandemic, COVID-19. Oh, the what's the new variant? What do they call it? Ooh, the Delta variant. Ooh. The very fact that you're willing to take that helmet off is the very thing that is not wise for you to do. Has anybody been alive for this last year? Have you woken up and recognized the very thing that they say in 2 weeks is the very opposite that they say in the next 2 weeks? Am I the only one? See, at what point in time do we clue in and recognize they don't have the answer? They don't have the answer. But God has the answer for you. And you're going to take off the helmet of to believe in wholeness, and you're going to believe what they say and believe what they have figured out. I don't want to go there. I want to put the helmet of salvation on. I want to believe that what Christ did on the cross is enough, is more than enough to take care of my family, to take care of my health, to take care of my finances, to take care of every, and I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture of every point that I'm making, that God is promised to take care of me, every part of me. God's will is that we be in health and prosperous as our souls prosper. And I'm not talking about some crazy kind of prosperity that Hollywood has for us, or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about wholeness, that you are whole. That's what God has for us. And when you take off that helmet, then I'm telling you what, then you are susceptible to, when you take off the helmet, you're susceptible to all these lies that Satan is trying. How does he get you to act wrong? He gets you to think wrong. And that thought process is going through your head. That's why Paul says, put the helmet on. Is somebody learning something today? I'm asking, like, did the light bulb go on for somebody today? Raise your hand if the light bulb went on today. I can't take the helmet off. Can you say it like that? Go ahead, try it. That's good. Peter, that was good, huh? Did you see that? That was good. Those four men, they carried their friend. He can't walk. They carry him to the house. Who's in the house? Somebody say, Jesus is in the house. He's in the house. And there are so many people in the house, they can't get in. But what do they not do? They don't take the helmet off. They say, here's what we know. We know that Jesus can heal our friend. So if I'm not going to take the helmet off, what am I going to do? I'm going to tear the roof off. Here, what could happen to us? What could happen to us? See, they're trying to. Hey, buzz all you want. I ain't taking the helmet off. What are they not going to do? They are not going to take the helmet off. And the helmet off, with the helmet on, they get up on the roof and lower him down. And that man is not only delivered from his sin, but he's delivered from his sickness and disease. He is walking home with them. What could happen to us if we decide, I ain't taking this helmet off? I want you to ask yourself, what could happen to you if you decide, I'm just going to put my trust in God. I don't care what it looks like. I am not taking this helmet off. If the elders can come on up front. First of all, I want to say this. Normally, I say the sinner's prayer. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying the sinner's prayer. Here's what I'm saying. If you want to become a Christian, then you say a prayer to God and you make this your church. I'm not saying this is the place that you have to connect to be saved. I'm saying you got to connect somewhere, and God has led you here today. I want to be your pastor, and I want you to make a commitment. I want you to say the prayer. I want you to ask God. You can do it right now. You can do it at home. You can do it as soon as we dismiss, right there in your seat. Just ask God into your heart. But don't pray a prayer and thinking that is going to change your life forever. You make a commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what I'm asking you to do. For anybody else, you're already saved, but you've taken the helmet off. You've become hopeless. Even in the midst of what Christ did to you, you've accepted what Satan said, and you just thought, well, I guess, I know God said that, but I'm just accepting this. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your health, whether it's in your hope, you become hopeless for any situation. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to say, Pastor, I'm putting the helmet on today. Say that with me. Say, Pastor, I'm putting the helmet on. Father, forgive me for doubting you, for taking it off. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.